Welcome to Turnaround Church. We're so glad you decided to join us. Whether you're watching us live on Sunday morning or watching the recording on our Facebook page, we're just honored you took the time to watch. Be sure to hang on. We have an encouraging and challenging message coming right up. And if this is the first time you joined us, would you do us the honor of going to our website, turnaround.church, and click the I'm New card. This is our e-connection card. We want to make ourselves available to you and introduce ourselves properly. If you would do that for us, we would be so grateful. Like I said, we have a great message for you today, so let's get right to it. All right, well, we're going to start a new series this morning, and we're glad that you joined us. If you have your Bibles or your devices or however you go to the Word of God, go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Verses 22 and 23, and this is going to be in the English Standard Version. Galatians chapter 5, very familiar passage with a bunch of us, and so we're going to read it this way. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." So we're starting a series called Freedom Fruit. Now, if you'll notice the painting behind me, that is actually a depiction of the fruit of the Spirit. We had an artist friend of ours actually painted that for us several years ago, and so she did that for us. So I wanted to have it on the back wall just for this series especially, but also because we want to have some artwork hanging around here. But we're starting this called Freedom Fruit. Now, if you read this scripture in the Living Bible, it reads a little bit differently. Verse 22 says, "But when the Holy Spirit controls our lives." So, English Standard Version, King James, "but the fruit of the Spirit is." But then the Living Bible says, "But when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, He will produce this kind of fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And here there is no conflict with Jewish law." So I want to start this morning, and I want to talk about when the Holy Spirit controls our lives. Now, what does it look like when the Holy Spirit controls your life? We'll get to the fruit in the next 3 weeks. We'll talk about that. But I want to talk about what starts it off. What does it look like for the Holy Spirit to control your life? Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus had just been baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist. He had just gone down. John the Baptist had seen him on the shore and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And Jesus said, "I need you to baptize me." He said, "You should baptize me." He said, "No, we need to fulfill the scripture." So he baptized him. Jesus came up out of the water, and as he came up out of the water, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in the form of a dove, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And then verse 1 of Luke 4 says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." This is what it's like to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Galatians 5:18, this is prior to what we just read, says, "But if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law." Now this word led, L-E-D, in the King James Version is the Greek word ago, or you could pronounce it ago, A-G-O, like a long time ago, but it's actually ago. And it means led by laying hold of, and this way to bring to the point of destination of an animal. There are several other meanings, but I want to title this sermon Leash Law. There's a leash law. When you are a born-again believer, you are part of the leash law. In other words, you have to be led by the Holy Spirit, just like the puppy on the screen there has to be led by its master. We have to be led by the Spirit. Now, see, the Life Application Bible, Study Bible, has this commentary. It says, "Sometimes we feel that if the Holy Spirit leads us, it will always be beside peaceful streams, like in Psalm 23. Yeah. But that's not necessarily true. He led Jesus into the wilderness for a long and difficult time of testing, and he may also lead us into difficult situations. When facing trials, first make sure you haven't brought them on yourself through sin or unwise choices. If you find no sin to confess or unwise behavior to change, then ask God to strengthen you for the test. Finally, be careful to follow faithfully wherever the Holy Spirit leads. Now let's look at a couple of things in that scripture. Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan, was led by the Spirit. Let's look at this. See, the Holy Spirit was mentioned twice in that scripture. See, there's never an accident with God. The Holy Spirit inspired the scripture. He inspired Luke to write this down. And he said, the Holy Spirit twice. So the double mention of the Spirit in the verse makes it clear that the temptation was neither the fault of Jesus nor an accident. He was led by the Spirit. God was clearly in charge of Jesus' actions right there. Although the temptations were given by the devil, they were a part of God's perfect plan for the redemptive work of his Son. The double mention of the Spirit also emphasizes that Jesus had surrendered his will to the will of the Holy Spirit, which gives us, his followers, the perfect example of what we should do. 1 John 2:6 says, those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Jesus was the perfect example of how we are to live. He's an example. See, he was fully God, fully man, but he never did one thing on this earth as God. He did everything as a man filled with the Holy Spirit to be the example for us. Jesus said, these works that I do, shall you do. And he was pointing to all the things that he did, all the works that he did, all the miracles he did, all the things that, these works shall you do because I go to my Father. He gave us, he was the example of how to live. So he did that. And then the second part that I want to talk about in this scripture, it said he was led by the Spirit, or it was into pneumate, which is literally in the Spirit. This phrase emphasizes that Jesus was guided by the Spirit, not his own account or initiative. This is the perfect pattern that God desires all his children to walk in, the wilderness of this world, being led by the Spirit. Matthew 4:1 has a different Greek phrase, hupo tau pneumatos, which could literally be translated under the Spirit. So when Matthew gives us the account of Jesus, he uses hupo tau pneumatos. In other words, it means under the Spirit, where the preposition hupo, H-U-P-O, describes the Spirit, the cause or the instrument, so it is translated by the Spirit. It's interesting also to consider that this term hupo is, in some context, can mean below or underneath, and can also denote submission or subjection to authority, rule, or power, and in this case, the Spirit. See, Jesus was fully God. He was equal with God. He was God, but he subjugated himself to the Holy Spirit's leading. He became a man. The term is condescended. In other words, he came from heaven. He is God. He was in the three triune part of Godhead, yet he condescended, the scripture says. He came down and became a human. So he became subject to this world, subject to everything that a human is subject to. He did that because he had to be the example for us. He had to be the person that was our example. He had to pay the price because the scripture says he was a man in every way just like us. Now, when I say man, I mean mankind. But he was just like us, tempted in every way, yet without sin. So this is how he could be our sacrifice. He could die for us because he became like us. So we're calling the series Freedom Fruit. And our theme scripture for Christ has set us, and our theme scripture in the context, if you go to Galatians chapter 1, you know, we started in verse 22. If you go to Galatians chapter 1, it says, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. You go to verse 13, it says, for you were called to freedom, brother. So in context, remember, when I talk about scriptures, context is always king. So if you look at a scripture, you got to look at everything before it and everything after it so you kind of understand what it's saying. You can't take a scripture out of the context and make it mean something totally different. So this whole Holy Spirit controlling our lives, producing love, joy, it's all in the context of freedom. Okay? So then how are we free if we are led or controlled by the Holy Spirit? How then are we free? Well, we have looked, as Americans, we've looked at freedom in a totally, it's gotten to be where it's a totally erroneous thing to look at. People think freedom means you're free to do whatever you want to do. And that's true to some extent, but there's also responsibilities that come with freedom. Because you are responsible for your fellow man. Okay, we'll talk about that in a minute. But how are we to let the Holy Spirit control our lives? Luke chapter 4, verse 18. This is what I call Jesus' job description. Jesus was giving his job description after he had been tempted in the wilderness, and he passed all the tests. He came back, and he went into the temple as was his, or the synagogue as was his routine and what he did, and it was his turn to read the scroll. Every person that was being raised as a rabbi, Jesus was being raised as a rabbi. He was a carpenter, but also he was studying the scripture. So every man got a chance to read the scripture, got to read the scroll. And so he opened the scroll to Isaiah, and in Luke it talks, and it reads, he said in Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, and that the blind will see, and the oppressed will be set free. He said, and then he closed the scroll and he said, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. In other words, he said, that's me. That's who Isaiah wrote it 500 years before I came along, but that's me. So he said, I came to set everybody free. Now, if you look in the book of Romans and the chapter 6, all throughout the chapter 6, it talks about freedom. Verse 7 in Romans 6, it says, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Okay, so we're getting free. We're getting free here. Verse 15, well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. So we've been set free, but we're free to serve. Because verse 18 says, now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. Uh-oh, wait a minute, what's up with that? I'm free. I'm free. You don't put any kind of bondages on. I'm free. No. When you've been freed from sin, then you are now a slave to righteous living. You are to live a holy life. Okay? Verse 20 says, when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. You didn't have to do anything right. You didn't have to do what's right. You know, integrity means doing the right thing when nobody's watching. You didn't have to have integrity. But now that you have been freed from sin, freed from being a slave to sin, to doing what was wrong, you were committed to sin. You just did what was wrong because you were in sin. When you were freed from that, now you are a slave to righteous living. Verse 22, but now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Let's notice this, the wages of sin. Your pay, what you get paid to do when you're a sinner, what you earn when you're a sinner is you earn death. You earn death. But the free gift of God is eternal life. And then we look at this and say, wait a minute. I go from slave to slave, from servant to servant. And I'm here to tell you, in this life, you've got to serve somebody. The great theologian Bob Dylan said, you got to serve somebody. It may be the devil. It may be the Lord, but you got to serve somebody. Now, he wrote that song back in the 70s, late 70s. And then John Lennon had a problem with the song. He said it was embarrassing. It was too preachy. So he wrote a song, "You Got to Serve Yourself." That's what he wrote. He wrote a song. He said, "You got to serve yourself. Ain't nobody going to do it for you." Well, we see where John Lennon is these days. He lived a life. I'm not saying Bob Dylan's a saint, and I'm just saying in this life, we've gotten to the point where we think that it's all about us. Okay? Jesus said this. Jesus in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28 says, "For even the Son of Man," talking about himself, he calls himself the Son of Man, "came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many." We are to follow Jesus' example. Now see, I want to spend a little bit of time on this, on serving people. This is how you are led by the Spirit. This is how you serve God on this earth. Okay? This is how you serve God on this earth, by serving others. Yes. By serving others. Now, listen, I can tell you all about selfishness. I am an expert on selfishness. I mean, I'm a selfish person from way back. I mean, you ask my sisters in the house and my mama's in the house. You can ask them. I've been selfish from a long time ago. I'm the chiefest of selfish ones. I don't understand why I was that way. I don't understand that when I was being raised up, we would have dinner and mama, we'd all get our servings, and I would eat, and what do I do? I'd be watching the leftovers, making sure nobody gets more than me. I'm going to eat, make sure I get my due. I'm going to get what's coming to me. Nobody's going to get more than me. I'm going to look out for Bubba. I'm going to look out for me. I did this from way back. So I can talk about serving yourself. This is an issue I still deal with today. I am in a ministry. I am a pastor of a church. My calling is to serve people, but I struggle with selfishness. And I'm here to tell you the way I serve God is serving others. The way I serve God, the way I am living my life out for Him, is serving other people. And it is hard, because I like looking out for me. Because all of my thought processes, all my life, before I got into the ministry, all my thought processes, all my life was to take care of me, to make sure I get what's coming to me, to look out for me, because ain't nobody going to look out for me. I'm telling you, y'all can't out-selfish me, okay? I've been there. I struggle with that, but I'm here to tell you, God says, we are called, we have to serve others. We serve God, and we are led by the Spirit. Now, I'm still talking about the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah, right.
We're going to talk about them the next 3 weeks. We're going to talk about what it means to have those fruit. But I'm here to tell you that we have to be controlled by the Spirit. I have to yield myself to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Because my natural bent is to look out after me, and it's not to take care of anybody else. And you know, that's really hard when you're married, because you're supposed to be taking care of your spouse. You're supposed to be thinking about your spouse. You're supposed to be looking out for them. And that is hard for somebody like me. I have to practice that every day, and I fail almost every day. Keep quiet over there. I don't want to hear anything else, because she can testify it's probably more than that. But I want us to understand that when we are full of the Holy Spirit, when we are born again, we are released from the bondages of sin. We are released from the clutches of the evil one. We are released from all those things that are trying to weigh us down, those things that are trying to drag us down. The enemy does not want anything good to happen in your life.
That's right.
Okay? He doesn't want anything good to happen in your life. I've been seeing a trend in our society of people looking, they're saying, listen, I've got to take care of myself because nobody's going to take care of me. And the enemy has caused this because the thing is, as long as we're being self-centered, as long as we're focusing on us, then other people are not getting the benefits of the gifts God gave us. We're hoarding our gifts to ourselves. And they're not blessing us. They're not helping us. We live in our gifting. We live in, and it's good to have giftings. We know we have giftings. I preach that we are gifted. God has given us all a destiny and a purpose and given everybody gifts and given everybody special things in their lives that makes them unique. God celebrates our uniqueness. God celebrates our diversity. God does all this stuff. I celebrate who I am and the way I am. But the thing is, as long as I focus all of that gifting and all that stuff, and I focus on me, then I am not ministering and I'm not helping anyone else. And the enemy's trying to keep us that way. The enemy's trying to keep us self-focused. The enemy's trying to keep us, but see, nobody else is going to take care of me, so I better take care of me. Listen, God's going to take care of you. God's going to take care of you. When you do what he's called you to do, when you reach out and you serve somebody else, I'm here to tell you there's nothing more fulfilling. And I've learned this. I don't know why I keep falling back, but I've learned this. There's nothing more fulfilling than serving somebody else. My mother is the servant. I wrote a book about our motivational gifts. And I used her as the example with the motivational gift of serving. Because that's her heart. She serves people. She serves people. And I have that inside of me. I have that. And when I operate in that gifting, and when I'm serving people, when I'm taking care of people, it is something inside of me that just energizes me. But for some reason, I keep falling back to looking out for Bo. Looking out for Bo. That's me, in case y'all don't know. That's my nickname, so I keep looking out for me. But when I'm ministering to somebody, when I'm helping to serve, I've done, and I'm not talking about just going and serving homeless people. I'm not talking about just stuff like, I'm talking about deferring to someone. The scripture tells us to defer to one another. Yeah. To prefer one over the other. In other words, don't look out for yourself. Let somebody, give somebody else your place in line. That's what that means, to defer or prefer your brother. In other words, give them the place in line, your place in line. Let them go ahead of you. That's what the mentality God wants us to have. And the thing is, I have learned, this is a principle, and this, I'll just give this example and let the chips fall where they may. But I have been in the instance to where we've been serving people food. Okay? We've been serving people food. And I let people go. And there have been people that you know, they're greedy guts. They want more food. And I hadn't had mine yet. But I still serve them. I say, here, let me have more. You can have more. You have more. Stuff like that. But what is inevitably, what's happened afterwards was I end up actually, we may have run out of that food, but somehow somebody provides better food for me. Yep. I don't know. It's just what has happened. We may have to go, okay, we fed everybody all the food. We don't have leftovers. Let's go eat it at the Cracker Barrel, or let's go to Cotton Patch. I mean, they may have had old cold fried chicken. And I like cold fried chicken, but you know, they may have had, you know, a hodgepodge of stuff, and somebody's homemade this, and somebody homemade that, and I'm not real fond of everything. I like food pretty much as a whole, but, you know, when you grow up in a church and a pastor's son, you have these potlucks, and so you better hope you have some luck when you open that pot, depending on what somebody brought. My wife and I traveled with my brother and his wife. We sang Southern Gospel, and we traveled all over the country, and we always sang at churches' homecomings. In other words, they had a Sunday morning service, and then they'd have lunch, and then they'd have a singing afterwards. And inevitably, some dear saint of the Lord would keep bringing us some kind of, here, I want you to have a piece of my pie, or I want you to have a piece, you need to have what I made. Well, you know, You look at the dear saint and it's like, I don't think she's that clean. You know, but you just have to take it. See, that's the thing. You have to deal with stuff. When you are serving people, you just have to deal with stuff. But God has always blessed me. God has always blessed me when I've served people. Now, do I keep doing it? Man, I have to try. I keep working at it. And I'm just being transparent with everybody. I'm just being as transparent as I can with everybody because it's just, you know, sometimes it's just not my nature. It's just not my nature. I've got a new nature, and see, this is where I struggle. I don't struggle with drinking. I don't struggle with running around. I don't struggle with all that stuff, but I struggle with me. That's my struggle, is me. I don't have any of all those deals, but see, I got the worst problem that I could ever have is me. So I'm telling you what we're talking about here is these fruit come along after you let the Holy Spirit control your life. Jesus was led by the Spirit like the little puppy on the leash. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He wasn't led into the paradise. He wasn't led to Hawaii. He wasn't led to the Caribbean. He was led to the Judean wilderness that is, I mean, if you go there, it looks like God don't even want to be here because it's just barren. It's like, you know, I mean, forgive me, but it's like West Texas. I don't think God wants to be in West Texas. I love y'all, but I got to be around trees and hills and let's do all this stuff and rivers and stuff where things are alive. But anyway, so Jesus goes there and then the devil tempts him there. And he says, listen, the very first thing he says is, if you are the Son of God, because this is the last thing Jesus heard. Before the Holy Spirit took him into the wilderness, he heard, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And the devil says, if you are the Son of God, if you really are the Son of God. So he's trying to mess with Jesus' identity. The devil's always trying to mess with your identity, who you are. But he said, if you are the Son of God, make these stones bread because you're hungry. You've been 40 days without food. You've been out here 40 days without food. You're hungry. Jesus was hungry. He said, make these stones. I mean, I would look at those. If I had the ability, I'd think, oh, that looks like a big old fresh loaf of sourdough is what that looks like. If I had this power, I could turn that into bread. But see, Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds, the word there is that's constantly proceeding out of the mouth of God. And then he took him to a high place, and he said, listen, if you'll just worship me, all these kingdoms, I'll give them to you. Appealing to Jesus' ego. Appealing to his ego. He said, if you'll just worship me, these are mine. See, and Jesus didn't say, no, they're not yours, because Adam had given it all to him. So if Jesus recognized they are, if you give them to me, he said, listen, he said, it says, the scripture says, worship the Lord God and worship him only. Jesus knew in his mind, it's going to be mine after a while. But I got to go through some things. And that's the thing to do when you go through temptation. The enemy says, oh, just go ahead. You know you want it. You know you want it. Just say, okay, but I'm going to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. I'll probably get it, but I'll get it when it's time. I do want it now. I do want it now. And we won't get into all the trouble I get in because I want stuff now and don't want to wait for it. The Lord has helped me with that. Thank you, Jesus. And then he took him to the pinnacle of the temple and said, if you just throw yourself, scripture says, because Jesus used the scripture, he said, if scripture says you just throw yourself down, it gives his angels charge over you, lest you dash your foot against the stone. And he said, oh, but it's also written, you should not tempt the Lord your God. So Jesus was led by the Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, being full of the Spirit. We think that when we get full of the Holy Spirit, it's all going to be doodads and all shouting and all glory clouds and all this kind of good stuff. That's what we think. But no. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. When we're led by the Holy Spirit, when we're controlled by the Holy Spirit, then we grow in life. We talked about last week, one of the things we talked about was character. Week before last was on character. And, or 2 weeks before, Pastor Leah talked about character and how God builds character in us and how his goal is to build our character. What the Holy Spirit is doing, he'll lead you in places that are building your character. They're not always comfortable. Being led by the Spirit is not always comfortable. It's not always the most fun thing in your life. But the thing is once you've come through that thing, once you've gone through it, then you come out and you've come out stronger than ever. And we'll find in the next 3 weeks that these fruit that come along with following the Holy Spirit, with being led by the Holy Spirit, by obeying the leash law of the Scripture, letting the Holy Spirit guide you, constantly staying on the leash of the Holy Spirit. We think freedom is all about frolicking and running and doing whatever we want to do, but I'm here to tell you freedom comes with responsibility. See, we all suffer because people do things that they shouldn't do in the name of freedom. Oh, you're infringing upon my rights, upon my freedom, my freedom, my freedom, but you have responsibility because what results from your freedom when you act in that freedom. Paul says, don't let your freedom be a stumbling block for somebody else. Yeah, you're free to do this. Yeah, you're free to do that, but it's not profitable for others. It's not profitable for other people. We have to keep in mind that the freedom that we are in, the freedom that we have, is a responsibility that we have to be able to follow God, to live righteously, to live holy, and it's not a drudgery. I'm not talking about being sour-faced like you baptize in lemon juice. I'm not talking about being, I'm talking about when you live a life that is led by the Holy Spirit, you are experiencing things you would never experience in your life, and yet you can come through, and you come through stronger than ever. You come through victorious. You come through with a feeling of accomplishment. You come through more fulfilled than you've ever been before. You'll come through these things. When you come through where the Spirit leads you, then you're ready for the next thing that God is leading you to, and it's always higher and better.
Yes.
It's always higher and better. Paul says we go from glory to glory. We don't go from glory to the pits. We go from glory to glory.
Yes.
Now, in between the glories, there's pits sometimes. There's process. It's like going over a mountaintop and then you got a valley. Then you go to a mountaintop and then you got a valley. That's called process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But once you've gone through the process, then you, on that mountaintop, then you have conquered that thing. If you want to conquer something in your life, let the Holy Spirit lead you through it. You're not going to be able to conquer things in your life on your own. Listen, I have tried because I'm a fixer. That's what I do. I fix things. I come up with ideas. I'm the one that's resourceful, and I could come up with all these plans and all these ideas, but in my life, I have to trust the leading of the Holy Spirit and let Him take me through it, and it does not make sense to me because I've got logic and I can figure it out, but what I don't understand is there's a bigger picture. He's taking me through it here, and there's things that I will experience that I never thought I would have to experience. But those things prepare me for the next place and the next level of responsibility, the next level that God has taken me. When you go through adversities, when you go through things, looks like we're talking about adversities all the time. We just finished a series on School of Hard Knocks. It's not all going to be about adversities all, okay? Stay with me. But I'm here to tell you, this is just God is taking us through this. When I started to discover, I had the picture first, and I said, I want to do a series on the fruit of the Spirit. And so I thought we'd just talk about fruit, talk about love and joy and peace,
yeah.
Well, long suffering and patience. But that's, you know, Leah's probably going to let me talk about those things, the long suffering and the patience and the self control. Oh, Jesus, help me. Self control things. Let's just pray that the Lord give us some wisdom.
Yeah.
But I began to read it, and I read that scripture in the Living Bible, where it says those that are, when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, He produces this fruit. And it's like, all right, this is how it is. All right, I see how it is. God is leading us because the fact is we're trying to understand where we are. God, why is this happening to me? Why am I doing, what is going on here? And He's saying, just keep following me. Just keep letting me lead you. Just keep letting me guide you through it. Just stay on the leash. Just stay on the leash. And see, the thing is like our puppy. Our puppy can't, she don't handle a leash. She don't do leash. You put a leash on her, she lays down. That's all there is to it. She lays down. Put a leash on her. Lays down. So we just don't put a leash on her because she don't go very far anyway. But see, that's how it is. Put a leash on me. It's like, you're just restricting me. You're just restricting me. It's like when I was a kid. Parents had rules. Y'all just don't want me to have any fun. Y'all just don't want me to have any fun. What I didn't understand was is they used to do what I was going to do. In fact, a lot of the ideas of the things that I did when I got from my daddy. Let me tell you something I got from my daddy. He used to hold my Uncle D, which is his next brother just younger than him. He's got 7 brothers and a sister, and the one just younger than him is my Uncle D. And he used to get my Uncle D down on the ground and put his knees on his shoulder and let spit drip, hang down from his mouth, and then right before it got to him, suck it back up. So what do you think I did with my brother? My baby brother. He's gone to counseling, but he's okay now. But see, my dad and mom understood. They give me these rules because they understand what are the repercussions of that path. When you go down that path, this is where you're going to go. It's not to stop me from having fun. It's to protect me. And so God does that for me. He says, listen, I have to restrict you because you will go the wrong direction if I don't restrict you. But it's not to stop you from enjoying life. The thing is as you follow me, you will experience the most fulfillment that you have ever experienced in your life when you allow me to lead you like that puppy on a leash. When you allow me to lead you along and you just obediently come along, sometimes begrudgingly, but you just follow along. Say, okay, I'm going here. Okay, I don't know why you're taking me here. I don't want to be here, but you're going to lead me here. But when you get to the place where he's leading you, there is so much freedom where you are. So much joy and so many things that you would not have experienced if you'd been left to your own devices. So the fruit of the Spirit is what we're going to look at. But this is where you get this fruit is. Letting the Holy Spirit control your life. Yes. Jesus did it. Jesus let the Holy Spirit control. He didn't. He said, I only say what I hear my Father say, and I only do what I see my Father do. He was led by the Spirit of God. Yes. He did not do anything that he wasn't instructed by the Holy Spirit to do. And he was pretty successful. In other words, you are free from sin because he followed the leading of the Holy Spirit. How you do that? How you deal with that? I want to talk to you about this morning, about those that are even resisting the Spirit of the Lord. And I believe that somebody this morning, whether you're in the house here or you're watching online, whether you're watching live on Sunday morning, July the 4th, 2021, or you're watching a replay sometime off in the future, I'm here to tell you, somebody is watching that you have resisted letting the Holy Spirit guide you. You've actually resisted the Holy Spirit. You don't even have a relationship with God. You've resisted it because you felt like it was going to be a life of rules and regulations and a life of restriction that's not going to be any fun, that you want to have your fun, and then when you're older, you'll give your life to the Lord. I'm here to tell you, you don't have control over when you go. You don't have control over when you go. So you need to understand God wants you to come home now. And it's not limiting. That's a false statement. It is limiting. However, the limits that are placed on you are for your good. They're for your good. And you will enjoy life. You're going to have hardships in life anyway. You're going to have hardships anyway. Why not have it with God being in your life and the Holy Spirit guiding you to a better place constantly than just enduring hardship for no good reason? Yes. It accomplishes nothing in your life except you just had another hardship. When you live a life of service to God, when you live a life being led by the Holy Spirit, the hardships you go through, they have a purpose in your life, though they aren't caused by the by the Lord. Jesus, the temptations were not caused by the Lord, but he was led by the Holy Spirit to those temptations so that when he came out, think about this, when Jesus was led by the Spirit to temptations and he came back with power because he was led by the Holy Spirit through the temptations. He came back with power, and then he began his ministry. His miracles began after he'd been led by the Spirit to the wilderness. I'm here to tell you, there is power coming to you if you will let the Holy Spirit lead you.
Yes.
If you will allow your life to be led by the Holy Spirit. And it begins with the relationship with God.
Yes.
It begins with the relationship with your holy Heavenly Father.
Amen.
So this morning, or whenever you're watching, I want to give you a chance. I want to give you an opportunity to give your life to the Lord, to give your life to God, to let God have control of your life, because he wants nothing but good for you. He says, Jeremiah 29, we talked about it a few weeks ago, I know the plans that I have for you, and they're good. I know what I thought up for you, and it's good. So let's get into his plan for our life. If you want to, this morning, those of you with me, if you bow your heads this morning, if you're watching online, bow your head. If that's you today, whenever you're watching, if that's you, all you have to do is repeat this simple prayer. It's a one-line prayer. It's all it is. It's not everything you'll ever have to talk to God about. It's just the start. If that's you, and you want to begin your relationship with God, just say, Jesus, I give you my life. Just say it, Jesus, I give you my life. Now, if you've said that, if you repeated that after me, and you meant it with your whole heart, then you're born again. You've been saved. You have begun the relationship with the Father that you have needed for so long. And we're so excited that you have decided to make that decision. That whenever you made it, and if that's you, if you're watching online, we want to partner with you. Well, those of you in the house, we want to partner with you. Those online, if you'll go to our website and go to I Just Received Jesus. The website is turnaround.church, and there's a page there. It's called I Just Received Jesus. If you're watching on Facebook, actually in the description of the video, there's a link to it. And fill out the information, include your mailing address, and we'll drop ship a book to you called 10 Steps Toward Christ. And it's just our 10 foundational truths. It's 10 foundational truths. It will help you in your journey with God. It'll help you to know why we do things. It'll lead you through different steps. It'll lead you through why we're being saved. Why we're being saved. What's the Holy Spirit about? Why we read the Bible? What's all the different things that we want to do that. If you'll do that, we'll drop ship that to you. We want to partner with you. We want to resource you with that. And then if you need a Bible, let us know. We know you can go online, go to your mobile device and go to the YouVersion, Y-O-U version app. It's got every version of the Bible you can ever think of in it. And it's got reading plans. In fact, that's what I do my devotional every morning. I'm going through the Bible in 1 year, and I do it through YouVersion. And so that's what I do. It's got all kinds of things, but if you want a Bible, if you want an actual hardcover Bible, not a hardcover, but a brick-and-mortar Bible, our best way to say it, then we want to send you one. Just let us know that in the comments. Listen, we're so glad that you were with us, glad you guys were here this morning, and we are just rejoicing in heaven. We're rejoicing in heaven. If the message was a blessing to you, let us know. Send an email to info@turnaround.church. We here at Turnaround Church believe our goal is to emulate God the Father in every way we can. One of God's attributes is generosity. In the book of St. John, it tells us that God expressed his love by being generous. It says, God so loved the world that he gave. We want to give you an opportunity to follow him in giving. For those in the house, there are giving receptacles in the foyer. You can take one of the envelopes and place your check or cash in it and put your name on the front. If you're watching us on our Facebook page, you can click the Shop Now button and it'll take you to our giving platform. You just need to provide a few pieces of information along with your credit or debit card number, or you can use your bank account and give through an ACH. Another option is simply to go to our website, turnaround.church, and click the Giving tab. The simplest way is to give through text to give. A large percentage of our attendees give that way. Open your texting application and type the dollar amount, no symbols or words necessary. Text the dollar amount to 84321. Text the dollar amount to 84321. You'll receive a link that will take you to our giving platform. Be sure to select Turnaround Church, as several churches use the same platform. Enter the same few pieces of information as the other methods and submit. The next time you want to give, just text the dollar amount to 84321 and you'll immediately receive a link to your receipt. It takes less than 10 seconds the second time around. We've had some people want to give via Venmo, so we set up an account. You can send your gift to @turnaroundchurch and we will receive it. If, however, you prefer to put a check or money order in an envelope and mail your gift, our mailing address is P.O. Box 1506, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630. If you don't get that before it leaves the screen, it's on the bottom of every page of our website, turnaround.church. Listen, we're so glad you decided to be with us. Whether you're watching us live or viewing the recording, we value you and look forward to meeting you someday. Now, before you go, let me speak a blessing over you. Put yourself in a receptive posture. The Lord bless you, and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. May you know that if God is for you, who can be against you? If God is on your side, whom shall you fear? May you be like a tree that's planted by rivers of living water, that your leaf will not wither, and whatever you do, it shall prosper. Have a great day, and we'll see you next time.